You know, the Detroit Zoo draws more than 1.3 million visitors annually. As a result, they are a major economic driver here in Southeast Michigan. Certainly as a result, the communities around the Detroit Zoo benefit from that. And there's a ton going on there. Let's talk about it. Dr. Haley Murphy is the executive director and the CEO of the Detroit Zoo. Doc, good morning. It's good to have you.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, there's a lot going on. Let's start with the herb discovery trails that have been reopened. That is always a highlight when you get to the zoo.
Yeah. So this is an amazing 7-acre experience that was designed to really get people inspired about protecting wildlife and the natural world. We also wanted a place where families could come and enjoy nature outside together. So it's a brand new experience. Like I said, it's 7 acres full of fun things to do. We've got Stingray Cove where people can feed and touch stingrays and bamboo sharks, if you can believe it. We've got the barnyard, which is goats and chickens. You can go in and brush the goats, alpacas, donkeys, and then an amazing elevated treetop canopy walk where people can run along through the treetops, enjoy family time together, but also exercise and fresh air. So we're so excited about it.
Well, I wish I had somebody from your staff walk around with my kids and I, because they have a ton of questions, and I always give them half-hearted answers because I don't always know. But that's what's so great about what you've cultivated at the zoo and has really continued over the years, because you focus so much on the care of these animals, no matter how big or small they are, and all the conservation efforts that you guys do to make sure that they continue to flourish.
Well, thank you. Yes, we absolutely do. Every experience we design is experienced with animal well-being and animal welfare in mind. And we're also a huge conservation organization. And so we're looking at how we protect the wildlife, not only in Southeast Michigan, but around the world. And we have a top-notch education department. So they're designing programming throughout this region, not only at the zoo and the Belle Isle Nature Center, but also in school programming before and after school through our camp programs. Really, our educators believe in us being a living classroom. And so, yeah, you're right. Bring your family here, bring your children, bring your grandchildren if you have grandchildren, and they will learn about the natural world in a fun and engaging way. And that's what we inspire to do every single day.
You know what I've always wondered? The type of network that you are a part of with other zoos across the country, because, you know, oftentimes we'll hear, oh, we're going to send this animal over here, or we're going to go this way with it. You know, 3 weeks ago, you welcomed a new giraffe from Utah. So to talk about the type of relationship that you have with other zoos with all of the conservation efforts in mind.
Well, thanks for asking that. It's super important. We're part of the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, which really set the gold standard for how we take care of animals throughout AZA. Zoos and aquariums, and it's really an effort across the country and across the world to conserve the genetics of these endangered species so that we can have them for our future generations. So we cooperate across these accredited institutions to make sure that animals are going to places that have very high quality animal welfare, but also they're going and coming here to breed, to really guarantee that genetic diversity so that our kids, grandkids, and so forth will be able to enjoy these animals. And we take immense pride in being a leading conservation and animal welfare organization.
Well, and it takes a lot of money to run the type of experiences that you offer to people that come to the zoo. Talk about your summer fundraiser. This is a signature event for you guys. It's Sunset at the Zoo. How important are these events? And tell us a little about it.
Yeah, thanks. Sunset at the Zoo is coming up, actually, Thursday, June 18th from 7 to 11. Incredibly important. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year. You know, we're a nonprofit organization, so we rely on donations coming in, philanthropic donations from foundations, private money coming in. We also have a lot of public support and government support. So to run a successful nonprofit, remember we have over 2,000 animals from over 200 species. So it takes a lot of resources to run an organization like this. We're very complex. And Sunset at the Zoo is not only a fundraiser, but honestly, it's a way for us to show off the zoo to this 21 and over crowd in the evening and have some of those encounters really inspire that, again, that inspire that love of nature and realize our impact to the region.
Yeah, it might be a little more economically feasible to feed birds. Probably a little more difficult feeding the lions, I'd imagine.
I don't know. If you come see our cassowary Neo, you'll realize that some birds can be very large.
fair. Good point. It's wonderful what you guys are doing, and I mean, I have always loved coming to the zoo when I was a kid, and now to experience that through my son's eyes is so much fun. And asking all the same questions, and just being really curious, and you know, you are certainly springboarding this next generation to be conservationists and thinking about taking care of our planet, taking care of the animals that live here too. It's wonderful what you guys do. Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Haley Murphy. We appreciate it, and we'll talk again very soon.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it, and hope to see you at the zoo soon.
Yes, we will. We're there quite often in the summer. And you know what's great is there's, especially with the Detroit Zoo, and I've been to some zoos that are, you know, they're smaller. They try their hardest, just trying my hardest. But the Detroit Zoo is totally different. I mean, it is a cut above. It is a class above. And what they do for our community is absolutely fantastic. You know, this Dylan Larkin news, I just can't get over it, because the thing that I keep going back to with the Dylan Larkin news, like, it has been the reaction that I've seen online. Like, people are absolutely befuddled by this news. And I'm not that surprised. And shameless plug, if you watch Blaine Fowler and I on Hockey Talk on our social media channels, Blaine Fowler from Blaine and Lauren in the Morning over on 96.3 WDVD, our sister station, a room next door. We've talked about if the Red Wings didn't make the playoffs, which obviously they didn't, what was going to happen to this team? Do you blow it up? Do you go a different route? And the realities are, if you do that, if you decide to go down the route of, well, we need an overhaul. First of all, it's a real bummer because we've accomplished nothing since Kenny Holland left, and there's been no run, there's been one playoff appearance, and we just haven't been able to gain any traction. Well, there are a lot of pieces on this team that aren't going to fetch a king's ransom in a trade. Well, one of the players that probably would is Dylan Larkin. And so if you've watched Dylan Larkin on the international stage, in the Olympics, the Four Nations tournament, things like that, this dude is a leader. This dude wants to win. He is a competitor. And if that's not happening here, I'm not totally surprised that he wants out, if these reports are true. Coming up on the other side, speaking of Detroit teams, the Tigers are on a heater. They've won 3 in a row over the Tampa Bay Rays, and now Seattle's on deck. We'll talk to Dan Dickerson.
I'm just trying my hardest.